all for coming. We have quorum. And I had Debbie send that note out that your jeans and shorts were perfectly acceptable dress today. I was assuming it was going to be like 80.
Yeah.
Like last year.
But I guess it didn't happen. Okay, the minutes of the last meeting were sent to you. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes, please. Marie, second. Doctor, any additions, corrections? All in favor?
Good.
Approved. Thank you. Also, the advisory board appointment list were mailed to you, or emailed to you, rather. Molly, any?
Just if there's any questions or comments. It's our typical process.
Chair would entertain a motion to approve the new appointments and reappointments. Joe, second?
Second.
Second, Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The old business that you're aware of. All right. And the chairman's report, there is none. So moving right on to the president's report.
This could be a short meeting.
Yes, very short.
Actually, you'd think that since our last update was only a month ago, that not much could have happened since then, but that's actually not true. A fair bit has happened, and so we have several major things to report, so I'll get right to it. So as many of you already know, graduation went very well at the college. Some 900 students earned their degrees this year, and the CARC was packed. Our keynote speaker was one of our own alumni, Ferg Foley, right, who was terrific, right? He gave a talk that I think was straight to the students' interests, right? And, you know, I don't know if you all know this story, but Ferg Foley had kind of the most weird reason for having chosen SUNY Canton as his college, right? He was coming out of the military, and he and a friend decided to, I guess, cast their fates to the winds, and so they just took a map and closed their eyes and pointed, right, and said, we'll go to the nearest college to there, right? And fortunately, he pointed to Canton, right? And his friend didn't actually follow through, but Ferg did, and thus he came to SUNY Canton. So that's an interesting little story, right, that he told. Anyway, he was terrific. And it was pretty much a perfect day, I think, as everybody who was there would attest. Then kind of the next big event on campus was Recognition Day. And I would say that Recognition Day was perfect except for one minor exception, okay? And that minor exception came during the annual faculty versus staff family feud session, okay, which, as is often the case, wound up as a tie, okay? And the tie-breaking round was, as it usually is, Ron O'Neill versus me. Okay, Ron representing the staff and me representing the faculty. And both of us were absolutely stumped by the first two questions, right? We were just hanging there, right? The first one was about the movie The Shawshank Redemption, which apparently neither of us had ever seen. Okay, and the second one was some song by the group Poison, which neither of us had ever heard. And so, like, everybody else in the audience knew the answer. Right. And the two of us...
It was just a number one hit for, like, 18 right. weeks.
Right? And we'd never heard it. And so the two of us are just standing there looking at us, and everybody is laughing.
Everybody's singing along.
Everybody's
singing. In the name of the song, and the name of the song is actually in the lyrics of the song, but where we're standing, it's unintelligible. Okay, from the speaker, so we have no idea what the words are. So it was quite a bit embarrassing, but everybody enjoyed it.
Right, I enjoyed the one year we had the employee recognition that the audience weren't aware of it, but it placed us in a difficult position. They had the answers in the script.
Yeah. And we didn't know what to do because we knew what the answers were going to be. And we just kept looking at each other and kind of taking turns. Anyway, so I thought that was fun. Anyway, the other one of the other highlights of Recognition Day was one of the winners of the President's Meritorious Service Award, and she's right here. Very well. And so that was really nice. We managed to get, you know, all her friends and family there without her knowing, right? And so it was a nice surprise. So we enjoyed that. Okay. Anyway, we've concluded our search for our faculty co-chief diversity officer. And the person who was chosen is Emily Hamilton Honey, who's a member of our humanities department. And so Emily is going to serve for a 3-year term. That's the normal term for this. And so I'd like to thank our previous faculty co-chief diversity officer, Bill Jones, for his service. And I'd also like to thank Courtney, right, who was the chair of the search committee for her leadership. And so, Courtney, this would be a good opportunity, since I'm talking to you, for you to give us an update on some of the planning that we're starting in the student life area and anything else you want to mention about student life.
Sounds good. I have a couple quick notes. So this is the time of year. It's funny that usually a question that I get from people who don't work on a college campus is, oh, it's summer. Yeah. You're resting. Right? Education time. No. This is not certainly not as busy as when the students are here, but this is when we try to get all of our planning and all of our work done, and you know, most of you know that better than anybody. But we are ramping up for our leadership lecture series for the leadership badge in the fall and cultural competency programming, so we're beginning to select some speakers and plan programs for those events, and I'll share those as they come to fruition and get finalized. But beyond that, I wanted to give a really quick update on some of our big athletics items. I always get a good update from Randy Siminski, so I thought I would share that. One of the bigger things, and Sean had a great video we thought we might be able to showcase, but unfortunately we had a brief planned power outage this morning, and I can't make the screen work. So Kyle Brown and Randy Siminski, and I know Molly didn't end up getting there, but Molly, by proxy, took 7 students to Nashville to participate in an esports Extreme Networks conference. And so our esports athletes got the opportunity to be treated like rock stars, is the phrase that keeps getting tossed around. They got to play in some scrimmages, and they just had a really fantastic time. It was a nice opportunity for the professional staff who went, but a really great opportunity for our students to kind of know what it's like to be in the spotlight. I think this esports program has just continued. I mean, the press alone, I'm sure Travis will talk about, has been phenomenal, but the opportunities for those students who might not have otherwise experienced the things they're experiencing has been great. Our women's lacrosse team won the NAC Conference Championship this year and made it to the NCAA D3 National Playoffs, which is the first time in college history. So that was a really big deal for us. A really phenomenal women's lacrosse team coached by Adam Todd. They did a really great job. Unfortunately, they came up short versus Brockport in the first round, but it was still a great experience for them, so we're really proud of them. We're conducting some searches right now. We've lost our volleyball coach and our men's basketball coach. The volleyball coaching search is underway. We're getting close to finalizing that. The men's basketball coach position is just open. I think the last I heard, we had more than 80 applicants for that position. So, you know, men's basketball is one of those areas where people don't move out of it. You get into a men's basketball coaching position and people kind of stay. So we're getting a lot of good assistant coaches who've been doing this for, you know, 10 years at another school. So we're hopeful that we get a good applicant there. We're sad to lose Ben Thompson. But and then I just want to share really quickly that athletic GPAs for spring 2019, the highest one being men's golf at 3.51 for the team. That is a really, really fantastic team GPA, and women's hockey coming in second at 3.5. So just, you know, our student athletes continue to shine on the court, field, ice, and other, and in the esports arena, and in the classroom as well, so we're really proud of them. I think that's all that I have. I actually just got contacted by SUNY yesterday. I'll be serving on a mental health and wellness task force for SUNY, so hopefully we'll be able to talk a little bit with SUNY about online services for mental health and wellness as well, so I'm hoping to get that on their on their agenda and in their mind on what will be on the task force. So, other than that, that's...
Did you want to say something about the food bank?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Just talk about this. So we're also trying to work on food insecurity on the campus. This has been a really big push with SUNY. I'm sure you've read articles about it. We've had a food pantry on campus for about 15 years, give or take. And it's small. It's actually located just down the hall here. And it's mostly food received through donations, non-perishable items, menstrual care products, diapers, that sort of thing. So, you know, we've talked recently about growing that endeavor and moving it to a more permanent space and a more visible space so that we can market it better. I'm working with Honey Jenkins from the Church and Community Program downtown, who runs the clothing and food pantry there. They've got some connections with Ogdensburg Correctional Facility. There was just a piece in Watertown Times yesterday about some of the ways that they are able to capture food and produce. So we're going to work with them to see if there's something we can do maybe to jump on that bandwagon, because they have more food than they can do anything with, and we certainly have people who would like that food. So beyond that, we're going to be working on campus events, having faculty and staff bring a canned item, and doing some more PR to kind of get the word out about the services that we offer for food insecurity and also housing insecurity. We actually do house students on periods where the campus is closed who don't have anywhere to go. That was a SUNY Board of Trustees initiative 3 or 4 years ago, and we've done that. We usually have a handful of students. We'll get 2 or 3 who will indicate they don't have anywhere to go, and we house them for free on campus over the summer. This has been passed down. It's not that we necessarily want them to be free, but that is what the SUNY Board of Trustees has given us, and there aren't that many people at this point who are using that, so it's a good opportunity. Did I miss anything on that, Steve? No. Like I mentioned. So we're going to continue to work on that. We'll keep you all posted.
You're also involved in the United Way.
Yeah, I'm on the United Way Board of Directors, so it's a, yeah, which is a good... It's a good board to be connected with, because there's a lot of partner agencies, I think, who work well with SUNY Canton already. Renewal House is a great example here in the village. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity. We'll see Joe go over the edge on Saturday at the Watertown Housing Authority.
Carol will be there with scissors, you know.
Leap off the building. I'll try and take some photos to share back.
Well, just another example of how SUNY Canton is involved in the community in one way or another.
The whole region.
That's right. And so, yeah, so the food security issue is an increasingly big focus for SUNY, right? Because, you know, there have been a lot of reports about the appallingly high fraction of students who, you know, say they're hungry, okay, on campus. I saw a number that it's as high as 30% nationally. Right, and you know, that's so high it's hard to believe, right? But that's the number that's out there, and so we want to make sure that, you know, the students on our campus are you know, covered as much as we can in a reasonable fashion, and we've been doing this for a long time.
And I forgot to mention, there's actually, speaking of task forces, I serve on the food insecurity task force for SUNY as well, and Priscilla Leggett from the student activities area also has been working with the Food Insecurity Task Force, and they're hosting their first ever Food Insecurity Conference at Monroe Community College next week. I'll be in Myrtle Beach with Molly, but Priscilla is going to go to that conference.
So not on vacation.
I mean, we will be presenting at a conference, but Priscilla is going to attend the Food Insecurity Conference, and so she'll be able to share back information, and we have a scheduled meeting for the week following that to talk about where we'll be the food pantry and some of our plans.
How many did you say, how many students are taking advantage of the free housing?
So the free housing, and it's only on breaks. It's not free during the school year.
Okay,
it's like two or three.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a small number.
Okay. So moving along, the search for a new vice president of advancement is progressing well. I think we've got 3 finalists, right? And they're going to be on campus in the next week or so, right? So... And Anne, of course, is continuing to serve as VP on a limited basis until her successor is chosen, and so we're appreciative that Anne is staying on. Now, the next item is a rather big one, okay? And I'm going to ask all the members of our college council and everybody else who's present, right, to keep this item confidential, okay? okay? Because it's probably not going to be publicly announced until Thursday at the earliest, but since you're here, I figured we might as well tell you. Okay, and it requires a bit of backstory, and you'll be familiar with some of it, so please bear with me here. Okay, so for the past 2 years, SUNY Canton has been working to establish a partnership with the village and the town of Canton to develop a plan that would result in the purchase and the redevelopment of the former Midtown Plaza Shopping Center property, right? And that's the property that's kind of gone fallow in the middle of town. And we were all aware that, you know, there'd been a lot of attempts to do this in the past that had been unsuccessful. And so over the past year or so, right, I was simultaneously in discussions with Mr. Gary Cohen, right, who's the owner of that property. And initially, we were exploring how we might acquire part of it to house the entrepreneurship center that we've wanted to build and that we've talked about in the past. And he was positive about the idea. And so we coordinated with the village and the town, and when we did that, right, we decided that a broader plan to secure the rights to the entire plaza, right, would be a better way to go. And, you know, and what we wanted to do was to redevelop, you know, the whole thing for a more extensive redevelopment than just for the entrepreneurship center. So about 2 months ago, representatives from Lake Development, New York LLC, and New Ventures LLC, who are the group that previously worked with St. Lawrence University, right, on some housing on Main Street and to develop the new Walgreens that's on Main Street, okay, became involved in the planning as well. And as a result, you know, we started to explore partnerships and funding that would enable this development, right, to take place, the development of an innovation hub that would incorporate mixed-use residential and commercial property, okay, and so wind up having multiple housing units on it, as well as several commercial spaces, and, you know, we're in discussions on how to do that. And so the development would also become the location, as I said, for the SUNY Canton Entrepreneurship Center, which we hope is going to include, for example, housing. The college's Small Business Development Center would have co-working spaces, private offices for rent, state-of-the-art conference facilities, right? It would also have a maker space in it so that people could start creating prototypes and so on for the businesses that we try to create there. Okay, so what we talked about before. And so, you know, after discussions and planning and all that jazz, right, I was asked by the group to see if I could close a deal, okay, with Mr. Cohen, right, since my discussions with him had been more cordial than those that had occurred in the past. And so we brought the plan to the Canton College Foundation Board, and I'm going to ask Anne to talk a little bit about what happened at that meeting.
So when in looking at how this project might move forward, because it was seeming that Gary Cohen was feeling positive about selling the property, it became clear that in order to make that happen, to use the good relationship that Dr. Zofran had developed with him, and also to be in a good position for seeking grants to help fund the redevelopment of the site, and some of the best grant opportunities are public-private partnerships. So it made sense for the Canton College Foundation to be the lead organization in the initial step of the purchase, and in the developers who we had been put in touch with, they also were in the wings and saying they would be ready to sort of take it over and do the redevelopment itself, so the foundation wouldn't be stuck, say, owning a property that we would then be a liability for us. So we presented this a couple weeks ago to the foundation board. They approved it. With their best wishes of good luck, because some of the people in the room have been involved in past negotiations with this owner that had not gone well. And then Dr. Zofran took it from there. We've been working with attorneys and going back and forth on purchase agreements and options, and last week was got intense.
And let me
you
stop
get
you right
up.
There.
Okay.
Okay. And so while all of this is going on, there's, in fact, a third or a fourth, I've lost track of how many tracks there are here, okay, that was going on simultaneously, and that's, you know, the Village of Canton's application for the $10 million New York State Downtown Revitalization Initiative, and this development was included as a potential anchor project, okay, in that. And poor Lenore, right, was spending vast numbers of hours, right, and going late at night trying to get this application out, right, at the same time as we're doing this. I'm going to ask Lenore to speak about that a little later. Okay, but what made this a little more challenging is that that proposal had a deadline of last Friday at 4 o'clock, and they are very strict about that deadline. If you put it at 4 o'clock in 1 second, they won't accept it. Okay, and so we were pretty much racing the clock at this point. And I'm happy to tell you that after several rounds of negotiations, we were successfully able to secure the option for the property at noon on Friday. So talk about cutting it close. Okay, and then, you know, Lenore and the folks in the village rapidly moved to, you know, complete the application to the DRI and got it in on time. And so, you know, we worked very closely with the mayor, with the town supervisor, with basically everybody in sight, okay, because we wanted to make this a win-win-win for everybody in Canton. And I think ultimately we were able to do that. And so we're looking forward to working with the developers and their team, right, to make this vision a reality. And so it's a pretty exciting and pretty big development. And so I'll pause here.
What we called it in the Downtown Revitalization Initiative application was a generational opportunity for Canton. It's been, the property's been almost vacant and now completely vacant and derelict for 20 years, right in the heart of our downtown, which has really inhibited development, and we really feel like it's a generational opportunity to make a huge, huge difference.
And do you want to talk a little bit more about the DRI and other grant opportunities that we plan to pursue?
Sure. So the project at the Midtown Plaza was included as our anchor project. The developers are excited about it. They see great economic potential, but they also love this place, which makes for a great team to work with. So that's very exciting. There are a number of other very projects. There's been a gentleman working on the potential redevelopment of the American Theater downtown back into its original purpose of a performing arts space. He's done a lot of research, and he found that acts like Muddy Waters and B.B. King and Bob Dylan performed on that stage.
In Canton?
In Canton.
Oh,
New York, at the American Theater. So there's a tremendous amount of history. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And after many years of conversations, again, this kind of the story repeats itself, right? The owner is willing to consider this, and to there's two investors, I believe, that are interested in investing in the project. So they envision it as a performing arts space and also a community space, which would be really neat. And then hopefully the relocation of the American Theater to a newer facility. So we wouldn't lose motion pictures in Canton.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another large project. There are a couple of smaller business owners with big dreams in Canton for redeveloping the Family Dollar space, which is for sale and out of business. So again, a vacant property downtown. This one on the waterfront, a beautiful spot. And another one interested in redeveloping the old laundromat on Riverside, again, a waterfront property. So those are included as well. There are some municipal projects, some infrastructure projects, some beautification projects. Tawny has some very interesting projects that are part of it. We have the dream of redeveloping Hotskin Street into a pedestrian street. And Tawny wants to take over the TikTok and make it an arts restaurant and pub. So just the ideas that have come out of the woodwork for this thing are so interesting and would be just totally game-changing for Canton, and I really believe totally game-changing for the region. You know, I think $10 million in St. Lawrence County anywhere will go a long way, and Canton hopes to be competing with the best of them for that money in the hopes that it will reach far beyond our little community. We're also planning on pursuing going for the CFA round of funding this summer, again with the downtown project. We have applied for similar, kind of different iterations of this project in the past, and one of the reasons that it wasn't as strong a project as we'd hope is we didn't have site control of the property. Now we do. And that makes a huge difference in the strength of the application, in addition to having interested investors wanting to redevelop the property and include the Entrepreneurship Center as an anchor tenant within that project. They're very excited about that.
That's a critical piece, I think, also to have that done with the shopping center. I think that's a great start.
Well, and we think that, it's the synergy between all of these things that makes it so attractive.
There's a lot of people working really hard who really love this community, and that has made all the difference.
Yes.
And I still can't believe I saw Gary Cohen's signature on anything, much less the option to purchase and a letter of support for the project. So,
another thing too, the healthcare market in your area has just become amazingly redeveloped and tight, and quality has improved. And so I think moving into an area like this, healthcare is huge from my perspective.
Absolutely.
That piece, yeah.
And we know that we've lost some of those incoming healthcare professionals because we don't have the right housing for them. So to be able to redevelop really great housing in the heart of downtown with lots of other good stuff happening around
right.
it is
individuals would want good housing downtown, healthcare professionals, etc. Yeah.
And it'll be good for the businesses downtown.
And the purchase of the mall, let me understand this. Will the foundation retain title to the mall?
No. What we have right now is the foundation, and one of our LLCs within the foundation, Blue River Woods, holds the option to purchase. And so we will hold that while we go through the process of assessing the site and its suitability for development and the grant applications. And at a later date, we'll transfer that option to the developer. So the foundation will not end up purchasing the property, nor will it ever hold title to the property, but we will have control of it through this process, and then we can assign that contract.
So what assurance did you have that the developer will do that?
They are very interested, but we also, within the option, we have the right to back out if the pieces don't fall into place with no penalty.
Right. The option is written so that we can back out for any reason.
So
but he can't.
This was extremely important for me through all of these discussions, was making sure that the foundation was protected, that it would not get caught with owning something that we couldn't manage or having expenses that were beyond
the foundation have to approve the developer's plan?
No.
They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want, yep. But except that we, as Dr. Zafran and I were talking about yesterday, we want the Entrepreneurship Center to be in there. And so before the contract is assigned to them, we're going to want the assurance that this is being developed in the way that we'd like to see.
So we do have effective control of the property, and we will be presenting to the foundation board, as we come to agreement on what the development is going to be, what that is. And since the foundation is the one who holds the paper, they ultimately, if they don't like it, could reject it and just let the option, pass. Okay, and so that gives us, for essentially no risk, control of what the ultimate development is going to be.
Sure. The developer, you mentioned housing, is it going to be apartments, like three, four-story building or something like that? What type of apartments? Luxury?
Not luxury, but, you know, one of the housing, correct me if I'm, if I get any of this wrong, but one of the housing needs in our community is good quality housing for professionals who don't want to buy an entire house or maintain an older house. And so just having professional housing, nice quality apartments on the upper stories, and then retail and office space on the lower first floor or possibly on the second floor, it would create, it will meet a gap in our housing need in town.
Approximately how many units? Approximately how many units?
I don't know if anyone has gotten that far.
Based on a very preliminary housing analysis, they thought that they could, what's included in the project is up to about 60,000 square feet of housing. And that would be mixed size units, and it would be market rate, but there would be everything from kind of more affordable studio to more expensive, you know, larger residences.
And the property itself, does it extend down to Minor Street?
It does. There are five parcels that are included.
But that little strip mall on the side, does Gary own that?
Which little strip mall?
There's a couple video stores or something.
No, that's independently owned.
Oh, it is.
Yep. But
so
they,
those people own the parking lot?
No, we have effective control of the parking lot as part of the option.
So it goes from the mall all the way down to
all the way to the street.
Minor Street.
Yep, and they're working independently on a contract with Vern Green to purchase that property as well. So it would be that whole back corner.
I'm assuming they'd like have green space in there somewhere.
Yes. Yep. They're working on the contract with him, and he's eager to sell.
As the project goes forward, I'm sure one of the key things we want to do is to keep in the forefront Canton's hand in this, because this is one more thing that completely, as Grace said, changes the perception of the college. It is totally, I can't imagine the value that this will have.
Well,
in our image, in our everything.
On that point, Marie, I went over to see the mayor on Friday at lunchtime, and he was at home because he had his grandkids there. So if you can just picture this, I go to his house, and it's got a beautiful house with, you know, a nice iron fence around the front of it. And there's a big, what do you call these things, bounce house that's inflated there, right, for the grandkids, and they're inside there jumping up and down and so forth. And so he knows I'm coming because I called him, right? And so, you know, I get there, he meets me at the gate, we walk in, and he says, "So what happened?" Right? And I said, "Well, I wanted to tell you this face to face." I said, "He signed." Right? And he looks at me, he says, "You're joking." And I said, "No, he signed." And he looks at me and says, "I hope you don't mind." And he takes his arms and he gave me a big hug. Right? And then, you know, later in the day, I got a phone call from the town supervisor who was out of town, okay, that day, and just telling me how delighted she was. And I've run into several other people on the village council or the town council who have heard, right, and they're just ecstatic. And so this is really a good thing.
And Marie, you're exactly right. And SUNY Canton is the one putting out the press release, which helps a lot. So I drafted that. The PR office now has it and is running their PR magic on it. So we're working closely with all the parties involved to make sure everybody's at peace with what it says. But it's going to be a big deal. Dr. Zafran said that he would like his statue in bronze. but he said that because I don't believe that this deal could have been struck without Dr. Zafran. The way that he was able to negotiate with Mr. Cohen, it took the foundation attorney, I think, a 5-minute phone call to say, "This guy's slippery. I don't think we should work with him."
Right?
And we said, "We know. That's why we need to close this deal."
Everybody in the North Country knows.
Yeah. That's right.
But I was supervisor.
But
that's
believe
right.
it or not, you know, throughout the entire process, he was fine. Okay, he was straightforward, you know, where we disagreed, right? You know, I present, you know, our side of it, and often he would pause and say, yeah, you're right.
And it's because Dr. Zofran was so clear and so transparent, he set the tone of the conversation and of the negotiation, and it was reciprocated in ways that I think surprised lots of people, but...
And Cohn's getting older, too.
Well, and I wanted him to think about his legacy. That's
did
part
you,
of
yes.
what I mentioned to
did
him.
Did you use voice recognition to be sure it was him?
Well, we got to be pretty friendly, you know, by the end of it. And, you know, I don't know what caused it, okay, but, you know, every good thing has its moment, okay? And so I think this was its moment. And, you know, Lenore's being entirely too kind. Okay, in terms of my own role, but I'm happy to have, you know, played a part. But there were lots of people on this campus and off this campus who played their part, right, in helping us work through the details and to think about the contingencies and so forth. And Anne is one of them, and Sean is one of them, and Lenore is one of them. And, you know, and this is, you know, the mayor and the town supervisor, like I said, were intimately involved, the developers. We had a lot of people acting as friends on this, and there were a lot of stars to align, but in the end they did.
And one of the people on the development team is a St. Lawrence alum, which is why he loved this area so much. And so St. Lawrence also kind of brought the people to the table and helped make this happen. It was really, truly a partnership of lots of different people and organizations.
Mm-hmm. And I think really, at the end of the day, and I guess maybe this will be my last comment on it, you know, people are looking for, you know, why did it work this time? I really think that the number one reason that it did is because we approached this as we're not going to do it unless it's a win for everybody, okay? And so we started by talking to the mayor and the town supervisor saying, we're going to be talking to him because so many people have asked us to, but what concerns do you have? Because I don't want to do anything that might interfere with some plan that you've got. Okay, that's where we began, and that's where we stayed throughout the entire process. We wanted to make sure everybody was on board at every step and was happy with what we were doing, because it had to be a win for everybody or else we weren't going to be.
Have you addressed the purchase, I think Noel Bargachewski owns where the hair place is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you addressed that issue at all?
No.
Or did you leave that to the developer?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and they might just develop around it. Okay, okay? That's, you know, that's not part of the picture at this point. Okay, so again, I ask you to keep this confidential, okay, because, well, for the reasons that I've stated. And but it's pretty exciting. Okay, and pretty big news.
Anybody wants to join me in a happy dance after the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you thought that that wasn't all that big a deal, okay, we have something else that's a rather big deal. I mentioned last time that SUNY was about to launch a major online initiative, and we were hoping to be among the first who would be bringing programs to large statewide scale. So Molly, would you like to tell us what's happened in the past month with regard to this?
So the programs that we're piloting are healthcare management for fall 2019, cybersecurity, and crime analysis for fall 2020. And what that means is SUNY will be looking to us to help craft how to scale online programs. We are one of five campuses, and we have three of the programs in it. So there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of unknowns, but I think we're pretty resilient, and we ask a lot of questions, and we just move through it. Their deliverables are very timely. They keep us on our toes daily, and it really requires a lot of communication amongst the leadership because we need support from the campus and across and within the campus to achieve this. We have a lot of good people in these programs that are going to lead it, with Morella Fiacco, Dr. Fiacco for healthcare management, and Dr. Brown Liz with the cybersecurity and crime analysis. So I do want to give kudos to their efforts and willingness to take on this effort. So we know as much as we know today, and so we'll fill you in as we move through the process. This is an opportunity for us to kind of shape SUNY's future, in the sense if they are going to have this pipeline of scaled programs, we would rather be part of shaping that instead of them telling us how it's going to be done. And because we're very, I think, honest in our feedback in a very collaborative way, it informs how things move. And so I think it's better that we're in it than out, so that we can actually have some say in how SUNY moves forward. So that's a comment on that.
And just to add a few comments, I think this is, again, a wonderful example of how things work on our campus. Okay, because, you know, we weren't chosen to be part of this pilot just because they threw a dart and it happened to hit campus. There are very strong reasons why they did. And those reasons include that we have a history and a culture of support for online programs and having successfully crafted them and offered them. And that culture has been, you know, developed and expanded as we've developed, you know, new facilities in order to do this and more high-tech programs. The person who certainly has led the development of online here on campus and, you know, and doing so in a way that engaged our faculty so that they would be comfortable and their staff, right, is Molly Mott, right? She's done this for more than a decade now, and this is where this particular seedling has come into full bloom, okay? And so Molly deserves massive credit, okay, for what we've been able to accomplish. And in doing this, you know, none of these things came cheaply. It required the development of facilities and resources. And so our folks in the IT area have been heavily involved in this project, Kyle Brown, right? And this, of course, has involved a lot of fiscal commitment on the part of the college, and that's Sean Miller, right? Making sure that the resources reach us at the right time, but that we do this in a fiscally prudent manner. Okay, and so this is a major kudo for SUNY Canton. They picked us because they know we know what we're doing. Okay, and our most recent initiatives to involve online students in the total life of the college is something that is unique about our campus. Okay, we've gotten a lot of recognition for this. That's part of the reason that Molly and Courtney are having their roadshow. Okay, and speaking in lots of different venues, okay, is because this is so unusual, but everybody who hears about it says, oh my God, it's so important, and they want to know more about what we're doing. And so this has been a full college effort, okay? And, you know, when I talked to the folks down at SUNY trying to, you know, make it as, make as strong a case possible for us being chosen, one of the things that I mentioned, and their jaws literally dropped open, was we have also engaged with our unions on this to tell them this was a direction we wanted to go, and that we asked them, we explained to them, you know, how this was going to be and why it was important that we should be involved in it and so forth, and we asked them to give us the flexibility that we would need to be able to successfully do this. And we have such a strong relationship with our unions that they agreed. Okay, and that's another part of the reason SUNY wants us in there, because no other campus has that. Okay, right. And so we have the best set of attributes and circumstances that would make this successful. And I think, right at the end of the day, that's why SUNY wanted us playing a major role in this. Strong leadership from Molly, strong campus-wide support, and having all the right elements in place, fiscally and union-wise and faculty-wise and so forth. So it's been a total campus effort.
And
might just say a few words. The state and other agencies, federal and on the state level, are not providing the funds to human service agencies and educational facilities in New York State. Mm-hmm. They have told DPAO and several other agencies I've been involved in, get out there, be innovative, if you're going to continue to survive. And that's basically, I know that the ARC, for example, buses that were used for transportation of their consumers are being used now in the community. Many, many things like that are happening. So I applaud Dr. Safran and the team very much for being at the forefront of getting this all done. I'm very excited for you. And I know in listening to Marie that you have to be cognizant of where we are as a college. But I think what we're doing is the right thing based on the economics of the state and the federal government.
And
that's all I wanted to mention.
And, you know, thanks for saying that, Joe. And, you know, this is something that has very much been, I think, a goal for the whole team. And that's positioning SUNY Canton to be the indispensable element of economic development in the North Country and to have everybody see that. Okay, and that's why, you know, these kinds of efforts are important given our isolated location and the poverty in our area of the state and so forth. And you're exactly right about the state not supplying sufficient funding. They don't fully fund, okay? They don't meet maintenance of effort, okay, as the expression goes. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are, you know, more visible, and then there are a lot of things that are less visible, right, in terms of what we've accomplished. But they're both absolutely necessary. And so, you know, I've talked about some of the more visible ones, but some of the less visible ones are making sure that we're fiscally able to do the things we need to do while maintaining the, you know, solidity of the college's position. Okay, and that's a thankless task that falls to Sean. Okay, and, you know, so she's got to, at the same time, be supportive of these initiatives and, you know, take on a certain element of risk as we go forward, but she's also got to maintain, you know, her fiduciary responsibilities on this campus and keep us fiscally stable. That's not an easy balancing act, okay, and she does that very well, okay? And so this would be a good moment for me to segue and say, Sean, would you like to talk a little bit about our current fiscal situation on campus?
Sure. So we're heading towards the end of our fiscal year. Fiscal year here ends on June 30th. As I look at our numbers, I am actually happy that I think we are going to end up even. I'm quite hopeful that we're not going to have to pledge any of our reserves. I mean, I had to pledge to balance, but as the numbers are rolling and our expenses are down a little bit, and it looks like we're going to come out pretty even, I'm very, very happy with that. When I talk to my fellow business officers, it's not that way on many campuses. So the fact that we've been able to maintain our enrollment or increase slightly has made a difference. The fact that, you know, they actually have given us some tuition increases have been helpful. State support has been flat for 10 years, so again, you know, they're not helping us at all with that, although we have been promised half of our retro salary increases this year, although we haven't been told how much or exactly when it's going to come. So
it's a student mystery.
It is. You know, I feel very confident that we are very stable, and I'm very happy for that. I just had, Mike had brought me yesterday, Mike McCormick, my facilities guy had brought me a list of some of the things that we're working on for the infrastructure and for the campus in general, and I know every time you come, you see something a little bit new or something looks better, and so I just kind of was going to share some of those things. Dana Hall, phase one, demolition and infrastructure, the outside of Dana Hall, so that should be finished October of this year. Wicks Hall, rehab the lecture hall. Southworth Library, so we did the Cyber Cafe, now we're doing the whole rest of the first floor of the library.
which includes the main entrance, the front desk, the stairs, the handrails, office areas, tutoring center. Also doing some local projects. If you're up in French Hall, you'll see that we're working on the lobby up there. I always feel like French Hall is our gateway building, so that's often the first thing that a student sees when they come is when you come into French Hall. So we've been working on really bringing that up to speed. Our next project will be the plaza behind French Hall, going down to Roselle Plaza. And so my thought is it should be, instead of, if you've all walked that zigzag there, I would like to see it go directly to the plaza to open up. So we're working with some landscape architects, and we actually have that on the agenda. So recently completed projects, of course, the building envelope on Dana Hall, Rehab Cheney Hall, site improvements, Payson and North. So that's between Dana Hall, and that's on the ramp coming up through to MacArthur. Mechanical and electrical systems, we're doing a study on that, MacArthur and Wicks Hall. Replace the boilers in Miller Campus Center. Cooper Service Complex, complete interior renovation, Southworth Library, the lower level where all the IT people are. We've done some renovations there. Site improvements, that's coming for French Hall, Roselle Plaza. Existing building commissioning, so we're trying to get the most from our energy and save energy, doing LED lights, all of those things. What's in design, and we're heading towards Dana Hall Phase 2, renovations and additions. So to work on the inside of Dana Hall Facilities Master Plan. So that's our plan that we've had a consultant come in. Very, very interesting to listen to this gentleman assess our building space and our use of the space. He knew more about our buildings and how we use them than we knew. So it was very, very interesting. We're doing switchgear, electrical panels. We're on a generator right now, full generator, the whole campus, down at the substation, so we've had some issues down there. So we just have a lot of things happening.
And the atrium.
Molly's atrium. The mock atrium.
The mock atrium. I want to see that sign.
So
she doesn't know that a big gift is
I want like a framed photo of Molly when I walk out of my office every day.
But what we're talking about is basically down the hall we have this beautiful empty space with lots of light, and it's a focal point between Courtney's area, our Ready Center that serves students, and our other support services, and all the students sit there in old food court things. So we're just going to put a little investment there in softening it with furniture and comfortable seating, and make it kind of like a place of student faculty engagement. And it's not going to cost a lot, but it's going to have a big impact. But I think it speaks to all the things that Sean is saying. Parents have a big investment in their students coming. And when they walk in, they see that we don't take care of a sidewalk, they think we don't take care of their students. So all of these little things, this infrastructure and fixing these areas, are such a recruitment and enrollment tool for us. We have prospective students and their families, and walking them through French Hall and walking them through the bottom of the Library Learning Commons and all of these big and middle and less, you know, projects that aren't so expensive, they all add up to gathering that student body. So, like, I really look to the support of Sean's area. We've done learning communities. We took the empty space and created a applied psychology student faculty lounge. It didn't cost a ton, but the impact that it had on how we make students feel about their space, their learning, and how we value them, it is all adding up. It's helping with our enrollment.
Oh, it does, for sure. And I think many times, you know, a student will make a decision within, you know, 15, 20 minutes of being on a campus. So you have to make an impact. I know I like to say to the president, they don't really care where you went to school. They want to know where they can get their Starbucks coffee and, and hang out and do, you know, but, you know, a joke. But still, sometimes they make their decisions just totally on... you know, appearances and how comfortable they feel in those spaces.
It's the aesthetic of the place.
Talking about that too, it isn't just students, it's whole families, their impression. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we haven't gotten a lot of money from, but we've had a lot of mileage from in our weddings and other events and Cheney over the years. I can't tell you, and I know I'm an old dog, and I go way back, but people came, especially in the 90s and forward. They couldn't believe how nice the campus was. You know, they had never set foot on this, but they had a different perception of the college than what was reality. And it was because we had the little motor bikes that took people down Cheney that were, all, you know, and Cheney looked so nice when it was fixed up for weddings. Now, there are vast improvements in Cheney now, but it's different. How's that going to affect that kind of event?
We stopped doing them, I think, 2 years ago now.
Yeah, we stopped doing catering of large events.
You're not going to do
it. We haven't.
Well, two or three.
The College Association had made that decision. I'm not exactly sure. Part of it was about the time that we actually hired the consultant to review the dining hall space, because we knew we were going to make a renovation that was going to make it more difficult to do that sort of event because we wanted the cook stations in the middle of the facility,
right,
for example.
Right.
The other thing is, it wasn't a big revenue draw, and it was a ton of time commitment. I think that's part of the reason that we've amped up what we're doing at Ruth's House. Mm-hmm. You know, so more events and more engagement where we can get people into that brand new facility so that we still have that tie with the community. The Special Olympics is a great example of the ways that we do things to draw people into the community that are a huge expense for us but are great PR. You know, I have a bunch of friends whose kids have been at the basketball championship games. I'm certainly not using the right phrasing, but they're using Ruth's House, and I'm getting these messages on Facebook like, wow, like, what an amazing facility. Maybe we should consider SUNY Canton when we're looking at schools. And I'm like, yeah, consider SUNY Canton. But you're right. I mean, Cheney was the same way, but it's just...
But are you going to do any kind of things? It has been decided that weddings and that kind of thing is not appropriate for the Ruth's House either.
I don't think we've had anybody ask that.
We aren't doing any of that.
Large catering events.
We haven't for a
while. So this is something we can certainly...
I think that's something
soon. That deserves the community. Because someone at the wedding, our gallery reception was there.
Which is
no place in the
there isn't any other
a large wedding to
right.
go.
Unless you
want
to
town.
Yeah,
we can certainly take this to our College Association for their consideration.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're raising, I think, a good point, Marie. Something that we are doing, and Courtney started to talk about this, is, you know, bringing more people onto our campus, right, in other ways, and in many cases, ways that are closer to our mission.
Right.
And so, you know, we host a lot of economic development things on our campus. We just had a big green construction thing down at on our campus that we hosted. We've got the Engineering Week and Women in Engineering and so forth, right, where we try to, you know, showcase our facilities there and interest more students, right, from the local schools into going into engineering-related areas. Right, which we think will be good for the economy and good for us, obviously, because we go through that and we bring on our criminal justice program has got things on campus each year that bring large numbers of people from the community here, because we're very strongly associated with, you know, the various police forces around here. And, you know, I could literally go on and on. About this. And so, you know, the community certainly is increasingly aware, right, of SUNY Canton and the role it plays, and, you know, some of the big projects that we just talked about fall into this. But we shouldn't lose some of the older things.
The one thing I thought of is that I know we've had weddings, but people out of the area that never have seen the campus that wouldn't find any other reason to come were delighted to take a ride around and hear about it, and it just seemed to me that it was something that wouldn't have happened without that kind of an event. Maybe it's still, certainly we're doing other things, and I appreciate that.
There's a question. Something like kayaking, you guys take advantage of the kayaking opportunities here?
Yeah, we actually, as far as on the student life side, and, you know, there are bigger opportunities beyond that, so we have kayaks and canoes that we use for student events, and we also rent them so students can borrow them. We have a whole shed, I guess is the right word, where students can rent those out at no cost to them and take them. And we have a pretty good contingent of students who will take those out on the weekends. So we're trying to do more, and I think that's a really excellent point to bring up. We're trying to do more engaging students with the beautiful campus that we have beyond the buildings, too. You know, I don't think we do as good of a job as I think we can do in capturing that experience, you know, the outdoor fun experience that we have in our backyard.
Yeah.
We have a river on our campus.
Right. And Marie and Ron is totally right. People come to this campus, weddings or whatever, they, you know, may have people at the party. Wow, you know, it's has a lot of, you know.
I had a friend who did her maternity photo shoot on our footbridges, you know. How beautiful. Like, you know, it seems silly. I mean, we all walk on them all the time, and I like the footbridges. But then I saw her photos, and I'm like, I don't know, those are pretty phenomenal photos.
I think every professional photo set I see of, like, families and maternity shots and whatever are either on our footbridges or on the Avenue of the Elms.
you can't be both places. People are beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, maybe to close this part of the discussion, you know, just as I was mentioning that the online program initiative is something that didn't happen overnight, but rather took, you know, some 10 years of planning, right, to get us to this point, our beautiful campus falls into that category too. So if you just look out this window, for example, and you see the nice walking path that goes behind Payson, right, Hall, and that comes from here, that didn't exist before, okay? And as we've renovated various parts of the campus, this isn't done kind of willy-nilly, but it's done as part of a larger plan that various pieces, you know, fall into as, you know, the resources become available to us. And so now you can see there's a beautiful, going outside of the rendezvous, there's a nice outdoor eating area, which then extends in a path that goes down Payson, goes around the corner, and now we've got the beautiful new, walking ways that are actually underground, steam heated underneath the sidewalks in front of Dana Hall. This is all part of larger planning that has to happen in buildings and grounds, and that has to be fiscally managed piece by piece, right? So that's more than 10 years of planning, right, that's been involved in all of that, and it continues with this master planning effort, okay? And so we're constantly doing lots of planning. So you see a lot of short-term things, but the short-term things are all part of larger long-term things. And again, that's why I'm so happy to be working here, because I've got, you know, all of these great people who have got both the short-term and the long-term vision and are able to execute. And it's terrific. So, I'm going to go to the last couple, but it occurs to me there's one other big thing that we just found out about yesterday, though it will surprise none of you. And that is our steel bridge team has been in the national top 10 again. Yeah. And so we're very excited about that. So, and as usual, we beat Clarkson.
and we'll be hosting it next year. So
yes.
Anybody that wants to,
oh, we are?
To
yes.
experience it, yep.
Yeah, we're hosting
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, so Clarkson is doing the concrete canoe because maybe it's because their bridge team always sinks in. Take that off the table.
And actually,
that's just a joke, Clarkson.
A random good fact with the esports team and the steel bridge team. So they sort of share a larger space that's separated by a little door. And when we sort of did this, there was concern about, you know, what sort of thing is going to happen, because before this, the steel bridge team essentially had the entire space. And what's happened is these strange and awesome relationships between the esports kids and the steel bridge team kids, where they really have got this, you know, supportive thing of one another going. They sort of go to each other's things and share the space in a way that we just, I think we were all kind of prepped for disaster. I think the professionals are always prepared for disaster, and then it sort of magically, you know, they all kind of came together, and they're not people who typically have similar interests. So it was just, it's kind of nice, and the vibe that we've got from the esports coordinator and folks in that space have been like, it's been awesome, like this great symbiotic relationship. So So just a random, or another way SUNY Canton is different, you know. Who thought the esports team, the Steel Bridge team, were going to come together? Nice.
Now, Anne, did you want to say anything else about the development area?
Sure. Just a few quick updates, because again, it's only been a month since the last update. I think the big thing on everyone's mind in our office is that this weekend is reunion and the Hall of Fame dinner on Friday night. So if you haven't signed up for Hall of Fame yet, there's still time, but I hope to see some of you there. And that should be a good weekend, as it always is. Forecast also looks nice. Our fundraising year continues well. I mean, I think all of the things that we have been putting in place over the last few years of new strategies and new activities are continuing to pay off. It looks like we will finish the year around 200% of our goal, which will be a 60% increase over last year's fundraising numbers, which themselves were a 70% increase over the year before. So that's a rate of growth that's tremendous, and I think just reflects all the untapped potential out there for fundraising. And I know that I'm only here for about another month. I'm wrapping things up and preparing to start the next chapter for me, but I know that the new VP coming in will come in with a great foundation and a great staff, and I hope that they will be able to equally build upon that.
Thank you, Anne. And we, again, I'd like to thank Anne for her years of service here. So moving on down the list, Barrett, would you like to give us an update on the SUNY Faculty Senate?
Sure. Most of the issues have been spoken about. SUNY Online is obviously a major concern for faculty, mostly that we keep control of curriculum. And we've passed some resolutions saying, reminder, we are the ones that are responsible for that. The other big thing is Prodigy, which is a So one of the things for the tech sector is that we don't really see how undergraduate investment is being made with the Prodigy program. They're saying we want to move a pipeline of grad students to faculty, and what we're saying is you start earlier than that. If you want to build a diverse faculty population, you need to start right at the undergraduate level, because so many students don't even necessarily see themselves as faculty, and so don't take the steps to get into grad school. And so we're hoping that that message is really being heard by the chancellor, and that they may consider some programs on, I think our campuses are a really awesome place for that, so that we can build, really, if we're building our faculty from within, then they start at the undergraduate level. I mean, even that's too late. Probably high school is really where they need to start, but the sooner the better. Other than that, now the plenaries are taking on a theme each time, and so this last one was really about culture. Civility was a big topic, and I think it's been a positive thing for the plenaries. Campuses are now opting out of hosting, so that's kind of interesting. It is an expense. We recently hosted, what was that, 2016? And Potsdam just hosted this last year, but a bunch of people have pulled out, so we're going to start to be at SUNY System pretty regularly now, which may be a good thing if they're, you know, somewhat paying for some of that stuff. And other than that, not too much to report. A repeat, really, of what other people have said. So I'll take questions if anyone has any.
I'd like to think that campuses have pulled out because they couldn't meet the standard. we gave a good one.
We gave a good one, but it seems to me it was between $20,000 and
$30,000.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was. And they were very demanding as to what they expect.
Yes, they are.
So, you know, it was a lot of work, I think.
It was. Yeah, and we decided we wanted to invest a little bit in that because it's part of changing our profile within SUNY. And we want people to see, you know, the SUNY Canton that is, rather than the SUNY Canton that was, and that, you know, sometimes they have maligned in the past, okay, in other sectors. And so we want them to see, you know, what our reality was. And I think they were very impressed when they did.
We're doing bylaws change at the Senate level as well, undergoing a whole review of the bylaws and making significant updates. It's going to take a lot of work on their part and also for approval. But also, actually, because I know Michelle's not here, She has sort of spearheaded a bylaws review for our campus as well, which I think is timely and important to go along with what's happening at the larger Senate level. And she's brought some real energy to that position, requiring our standing committees now to report out at faculty assembly, which hasn't been done in a few years. And so I just want to give her some props because I think she's making some really positive changes that align with what we're doing at the larger Senate.
She's done a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And, okay, making sure I'm not skipping anybody. Travis, I believe you're up next to tell us what's new in public relations, and I want to make sure you're not too shy, and we'll mention the four awards that you guys won.
Can't forget those. So. Okay. A few of these things have been mentioned before, but I've already mentioned the Extreme Connect conference in Nashville that our esports team took part in. It was a great, you know, tremendous event for those students to be in Nashville. A lot of them have never left the state or, you know, flown on a plane, that kind of thing. So great experience for them. They were the centerpiece of this whole conference for Extreme Networks. And I don't know, a little fresh your memory, Extreme Networks, they built the infrastructure, the networking infrastructure on the campus. So they've invested quite a bit of money. We partnered with them for conferences like this. They've done some PR for us. It was a tremendous event. Randy Zeminski and Kyle Brown were also on a panel discussion, so we got some exposure there as well. Huge PR event for us. We sent Morgan Elliott and Greg Kai down to take photos and video, so there was a couple videos that popped up from the event. I'm not sure if you've seen them. We're going to show that here.
We're going to show one. But
yeah, we can send those to you. Nice little overview of Nashville. What's that?
They pay for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They paid for everything. And
Sean real happy.
Right. And we're in discussions now to have another event in October at Turning Stone Casino. So they want to make another big splash with us and then invite some other schools to the area, maybe highlight higher ed and maybe the K-12. So one of the cool things that came out of this event, Wayne Gretzky was actually one of the keynote speakers at the conference. So the CEO of Extreme was so impressed by us that he took an esports jersey and had Wayne Gretzky sign it. Brought back to campus, so that will be on display either at Bruce House or the Esports Arena. I think they're fighting over where it should be, but it's really cool.
I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Even I know who he is.
I like Poison with that song.
I'm never going to live this
the
thing.
Name of the song. Who knows?
As we mentioned, the Steel Bridge team. They finished 9th at the national competition this past weekend.
Yeah.
The PR part of that is we were able to get it highlighted on WSYR Channel 9 in Syracuse. The referee has built a relationship with some folks there. She's from Central New York, so that helps. So they highlighted previewed the event on Friday and then did another highlight on last night, I guess it was, to let everyone know. And there were a couple of kids from Central New York that were on the Bridge team, so that helps that connection there. With Syracuse, so they've done some esports stuff with us there as well. So we're going to keep trying to get some things regionally placed to expand our name there. SUNY Quad Awards. So in the past, you know, we've won a handful of SUNY Quad Awards. Usually we win maybe one a year, maybe two. Usually it's like a judge's citation, or, you know, once in a while we'll get first place. But this year we've received 4 SUNY Quad Awards. So it's unprecedented for the college. One was for our esports promo video, which came out in January. Morgan Elliott produced. He won 2 awards for that, best of category in both excellence in digital marketing and excellence in marketing and communications on a budget.
on a budget.
On a budget, yeah, a negative connotation. We'll take it. We also won the best of category in excellence in campaigns for government or community relations for our 50 Acts of Kindness campaign, which we didn't quite finish by the time the deadline was reached for last year, but that highlighted, you know, our community engagement in the area with, you know, our 50 groups and 50 students going out and doing community service and, you know, that's right. So, and then the big one for me was the online national campaign that we did, which kind of ties into our SUNY Online moving into the future. We won the best of category and excellence for advertising campaigns for the It's Your Time campaign. So that was a huge one for us.
So
I'm very proud of the team.
SUNY stole our tagline.
Right. SUNY stole our tagline and some of their ads. So, yeah. What do you do? very, very big year for us in PR. And then the the other piece that, you know, we talked about at the beginning with our project downtown, that release will probably go out either tomorrow or Thursday, depending on how some things work out. I would imagine as soon as we hit the send button, we're going to get some phone calls from the Clark Town Daily Times and Channel 7. They're going to be all over it, so that's going to be huge for us. But you know, all the things that you've heard here today, all the stars are aligning just for SUNY Canton in addition to the downtown area. I think as we mentioned it in an email at the very end in all caps, it's our time. I think that's kind of fitting. You know, things are coming together here for the college and we're really, you know, putting our footprint in.
And it's not only a big year for PR, but it's a big time for Travis. He's the Pow Papa.
I apologize for my tardiness. Unfortunately, babies don't want to tell time.
Soren Alexander is doing great, as is the rest of the
6 weeks old now, so he's doing well.
We're doing our very best to grow our own.
Yeah,
it's
our
time.
It's a thing in PR lately.
It is.
We got another gentleman on parental leave.
Yes, Matt Wilkin, our graphic designer. He's on parental leave, so he's a beautiful daughter, father, getting the middle name, Father Wilkin.
That's right. So, and Sean in our food service, not this Sean, but the other Sean, right, is a proud papa as well. And in our own office, right, we have somebody who just had a baby. And yeah, so something happens. Okay, we're almost at the end. Lenore, did you want to say anything further about government relations?
Sure. We have met several times with Assemblyman Walzik. He's very interested in the campus. He's really interested in highlighting the campus and what we're doing. Most recently, he met with our Small Business Development Center to hear about their impact in the community. As you know, we took over the Plattsburgh office, so our reach has gotten much larger. But it's going really, really well. The team is melding together very nicely. They're working together very well. And in fact, we're poised to have a record year in community impact. So they're looking at about $17 million right now in impact investment in our community, which is just amazing. And it's so amazing that, again, some awards. Jen McCluskey, a business advisor, won the top performer in New York State for the SBDCs. And Michelle Collins won, I thought this is so interesting, the best use of their library resources. They have a couple of librarians on staff that will do research, you know, market research and things like that for them, and so she won the award for best use of that for her clients. So clearly we're serving our economic and our small business owners very, very well, and that's very promising as we look to establish the Entrepreneurship Center. I was also in Washington, D.C. for SUNY Day D.C., and I met with staffers for Representative Stefanik as well as staffers for both of our federal senators. And an interesting thing that happened in the Senate meeting was, you know, people were saying, we need this, we need more resources for that, this is bad, this is happening. You know, it was almost like a laundry list of complaints. And when I saw that the meeting was starting to wrap up, I kind of said, I want to talk about good things. SUNY's doing some great things. And so that was a great segue into talking about some of the great things we've talked about here today. And I said, I think the most important thing the federal government can fund is to provide resources for campus that are establishing innovative programs. Innovative programs for student support, innovative programs for academics, innovative programs that not only prepare our students for the new economy, but help build that new economy. And they were very, very interested in that, excited to hear about what we were doing and about how the federal government could create grant programs that can support that kind of thing, particularly for underfunded institutions like ours. So I think that in the end was a very, very positive visit. And I think that covers it for me.
Well, I want to thank everybody for their reports. And I guess just in closing, there was something published maybe 2 weeks ago that was an analysis of the higher education marketplace. And for some SUNY institutions, the news was not good. Okay, they were looking at trends in the various degree clusters. Okay, and something that probably won't surprise you is that the demand for degrees in the liberal arts is down, okay, and it's down sharply. And I think that's a shame. The liberal arts are tremendously important, okay? But the public increasingly doesn't see that, and they're focused instead on things that, in their minds, will lead to jobs. Now, of course, the liberal arts do lead to jobs. But again, that's something that's outside of most people's knowledge base, and you know, we need to work to change that. Okay, but you know, this decline is a reality. It's in the past, I think, 5 years, there's been like a 30% decline in enrollments in humanities programs. There's been an equally, if not even slightly greater, decline in education program enrollments. Okay, and so our comprehensive sector in SUNY obviously is dealing with some very high winds that are blowing them in the wrong direction. Okay, and so that's quite a challenge for them. On the other hand, right, there's a large increase in people wanting degrees in the technologies and in engineering, right, and so we are perfectly situated, right, at this point for you know, the marketplace. And furthermore, people want not just degrees in those areas, they want degrees with application, okay, that people will have a chance to get their hands dirty and learn by doing. Guess what? That's always been our focus. Okay, and so, you know, increasing numbers of people are studying online. We're very strong in the online area. So when I look at the major elements that were there in this economic analysis, we couldn't be better situated. Okay, SUNY Canton has made good decisions, has made smart choices, and our nature as a college of technology, right, that has focused on the newest technologies, right, like cybersecurity, like mechatronics, like you know, things of game design, things of that nature, right, have worked well for us, and all indications are from this analysis will continue work well for us. And so when I look around SUNY, okay, maybe I envy Stony Brook a little bit, okay, but I'd rather be us than I'd rather be anybody else, okay, because, you know, we've got the team, we've got the programs, the market has aligned with what we want, we're in a great location, and we've got strong support. I couldn't be happier. Okay, normally we have our student government leader, Braden White, would be here, but of course the term is over. And so I'll just mention very briefly something he said at graduation when he gave his remarks. And what Braden said was, you know, he came to our campus very nervous. He'd really never been outside his own community. He didn't know what he was going to face, and he had a lot of concerns. And on the first day, he heard us talking about how our campus motto is "Everyone is welcome here." And he had some doubts about whether these were just words, and he found out they weren't. Okay, we were absolutely serious about this. We continue to be serious about this, right? We want our campus to be a place where everyone is welcome, and we do everything we can in our power to make it so. And so we didn't script his talk in any way. I was thrilled when I saw that. Okay, I mean, because that's something that's really important to me on a personal level, and I know that it's important to our entire community. And so with that, Ron O'Neill, our report is complete.
I just have a question for Lenore. I don't know how to word this. It's grand that you are so positive. You have a meeting in Washington. Do you actually think total chaos going on in Washington, and with the Secretary of Education that we have that has some really strange ideas about education, do you think anything's going to change? I mean, the ideas you have and you offer to, I guess, the bureaucrats, do you think, I mean, you're positive, you have to be that way, I guess, but in reality, do you think you're just spinning your wheels?
No, and I don't think I'm spinning my wheels, because the chaos that happens swirling around the top at Washington, in Washington, I think the people who are doing the real work and who are setting the agendas and who are trying to get things done are the people that I spoke to. Mm-hmm. So is it going to happen this year in this budget? Probably not. Am I setting the stage for ideas that can come to fruition in further iterations of the Higher Ed Authorization Act? I think so. I think they're very interested in that. I think they're looking at not only, and part of it is because they want to fund cool stuff. Like, that's what they can get passed in Congress, is what you know, the cool stuff, the innovative stuff.
Right.
And so I think it's all about setting the stage, and I think the example of what's happened with the Entrepreneurship Center is a perfect kind of display of that, is you work hard at the foundations to set the stage, to find the right partners, to establish the idea, to really put it in people's minds, and then when the time is right, it comes.
And that's what we do. We plant a lot of seeds. We've planted seeds with, you know, the folks in facilities down at SUNY so that they know what we need, they know we're ready to do it, and when the moment arrives, they turn to us and say, okay, SUNY Ken, do you want to start rolling on this project? And we're ready to go because we've planted the seed. Okay, with the online learning, right, we showed them what we could do. Right, we talk to them constantly about what's happening here and why it's important to bring it to scale across SUNY. And when the moment came, right, they turned to us because the seed was planted. Okay, there are lots of examples of this in student life, and even in PR. Right, we are actually getting phone calls right now, Ron, from colleges in Great Britain asking about our esports efforts, and we have gotten approached by one that warmed my heart, Georgia Tech, wanted to know how we were doing things. How great is that? SUNY Albany wanted to know how we were doing things. Right? SUNY Poly wanted to know how we were doing
UCLA,
things.
UCLA, though.
UCLA.
You're in New York State. UCLA. Go anywhere in the country and say UCLA, and they know what you're talking about.
Yes.
They want to know what we're doing.
Yeah, and so they want to know because we're increasingly seen as the place that knows how to do it. We're planting seeds, right? And, you know, kind of the biggest seed we're trying to plant with SUNY is look at the colleges of technology in general, and SUNY Canton in particular, as the place that knows how to do innovation. Right, and so fund us, we will do amazing things, and then take our best practices and bring them to scale. Let us run out in front. And they're beginning to pay attention to that.
You know what I noticed at this meeting today? Sometimes I'm not anxious to get here. But when I do, especially this meeting, I feel so much better. And one of the things I've noticed about you, Steve, you have a great team around you.
I do.
But partly they're great because you appreciate them and you share the glory. You thank them.
Right.
You're very aware of what they're doing. You point that out to the rest of us who might not be cognizant of all that each of you do. And that's what a great leader does. I want to tell you a quick story. When Tony Collins at Clarkson became president, I met with him as a town supervisor. We had lunch, get to know each other. And he wanted to know my concerns, and he wanted to tell me his. And I said to him, the thing that bugged me the most was that so many scientists and inventors in Clarkson made these gadgets and did these wonderful things, and then they were manufactured someplace else. We in Potsdam never reaped any of the benefits. Well, some, but you know, I mean, and it just wasn't right. And he looked at me and he said he felt that it was responsibility, one of the responsibilities of Clarkson, to become the economic engine, you know, for the North Country. And whatever else you want to say, Tony's done a lot on that. And you are doing the same thing. These things don't happen without commitment, without a vision, a seed, like you're talking about. And I'm very happy we picked you as president.
Well, thank you so much, Mark.
I mean that.
But I'm not just saying words. I am really blessed to have such a great team, right, who you know, work together effectively, who don't try to build up their own areas at the expense of others. right, who have got the college's progress, and even more important than that, our students' success as what's always foremost in their minds. And, you know, when you've got a team like that, you can't help but succeed.
And, you know, Maria, it's interesting that you bring that up. At the last meeting, when I left, I said, I basically said the same thing. You know, I'm not always anxious to get here, but I always leave feeling like I learned a great deal, and the enthusiasm around the table for each of the presenters. I just find it incredible to your yeah, you're just so into it. It's like, this is
each room is that way. Everybody walks that way, you can see the potential.
It could be the Charlotte.
Yes, it could. Where did you park? Did you park here?
I parked here.
Yeah.
Go that way. Potential.
Can I add another piece to that? Just the synergy of everybody, the foundation, etc. And Rich, you brought up a big thing. The ARC has done a big merger, but they're doing a $10 million campaign through the JRC Foundation. It has nothing to do with the organization. The foundation here, in conjunction with the campus and other things, everybody's synergizing to make everything just come together. That's the word out there. Federal funding's not coming here. Here's a part of this. It's like we have to go and create and find and develop and find partners. And you guys are just... you're doing it, you're ahead of it, you're making it happen, and wonderful. Glad to be part of it, and thank you for informing us of it. Makes me proud.
Well, again, as a college of technology, I think we need to be there a little bit ahead of everybody else. And, you know, I think we've made good decisions, we've got good insights, and we've gotten there.
Okay, one thing I noticed with the facilities, I noticed the potholes are filled in.
We just got the approval to redo Miller Drive. We're going to redo the whole drive.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Do they have to do a sidewalk around it, too?
I lost it one day.
I'm not sure where the sidewalk is.
It could be to the atrium.
There's no walk. There is a sidewalk. Do you have any conversation with students? I have to start right next to the sidewalk. I pull up next to them, roll my window down, and go, hey, 1 foot from you is a sidewalk. I know where I'm going, but I like where I'm walking. I'm like,
persistence is
the new sign you have, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, the digital sign?
I just love that sign.
Yeah.
You can see the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Another idea from our buildings and grounds area in Sean.
It's a good day to have a good day.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to figure that out. Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Roger, second. By Joe, all in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Meeting adjourned. Thank you again. Elk, and wish you well, Anne.
Thank
you.
Yes.
And remember, please keep the downtown park confidential at least until Thursday.